mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it.
As if getting married doesn't have enough pressure associated with it. The idea of having to give gifts to the people who are coming to your wedding, who are standing up in your wedding, has always been interesting to me. I remember years and years and years and years and years and years and years ago, really like struggling with what to get my bridesmaids for my wedding. You know, like what's appropriate? What shows that I appreciate them being with me on one of these most important days? But also doesn't break the bank. I was pretty broke back in the day. Like, so I always wonder how many options people go through when they're thinking about this stuff. This came up this weekend, Gabe, because a guy took his buddies, his groomsmen. Did they go to the U.S. Open?
No.
Or were they just watching the U.S. Open?
His wedding was this weekend. I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday, but one of his pals, one of his guys that was standing up in the wedding, one of the groomsmen, tweeted out that he was a groomsman in a weekend this past wedding, or a groomsman in a wedding this past weekend. And as the gift, they each received a random $25 ticket for someone to win the U.S. Open. So this guy had Victor Hovland at 55-1. Victor Hovland was one of just four players under par heading into the final round on Sunday. So, well, Victor didn't end up winning, but this guy certainly was locked in because suddenly he had a $25 ticket at 55-1, and he's going, oh, if Victor wins, this is going to be a huge payday for me. And now you got probably had all your buddies rooting for you, too. And the groomsmen going, oh, see, this is a great gift.
But here's
not necessarily.
Yeah, that's the thing with these tickets.
Yeah.
They don't always hit, Hachu.
I mean, if one of them is Bryson, then you had not as much fun because he didn't even make it to the weekend.
How many groomsmen could he possibly have had? Let's just say for funsies, he had 10.
That's a lot.
Sure, and I'm going to sort of an extreme here. Could you have picked 10 guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Hold on. And then pick the winner.
Oh, no.
There it is. That's what I'm saying. Because this
You mean who the winner turned out to be?
Yes.
No.
Because everything that Gabe told us about the U.S. Open was like, course is tough. Greens are long. It was going to test the golf. That's what they want for the U.S. Mm-hmm. Open. That's all a part of the shtick. So I was thinking like, well, good on you for giving each guy $25 tickets. And again, let's use the number 10 because it's round and it's easy. So you spend $250 on tickets, and then maybe you pick a winner in one of the more tough tournaments to pick the winners of.
Yeah, yeah, and ended up not working out, but I think these guys probably had a lot of fun rooting for Victor Hovland together, and that's the memory that you end up creating. Because like most, I mean, what did you end up getting your bridesmaids?
I don't even remember.
The fact you can't remember tells us everything
we need to know. These guys aren't going to forget. Rooting for Victor Hovland on the U.S. Open and hoping that somehow Vic was able to pull one out.
How do we feel, just generally speaking, about giving away these opportunities to win, these chances to win? Because, you know, my mother-in-law comes over every Christmas and she brings a box, and the box is full of scratch-off tickets. Now, I don't know if she goes to one convenience store or she bops around town and goes to multiple convenience stores, but it's a pretty sizable box of scratch-off tickets for Christmas. And every year you dig your hand and you pull one out, then you go around the circle, then you dig your hand and you pull one out, and you get what you get. And I will tell you, we don't get very much. like sometimes you win $10, sometimes you win $1. I very much doubt that anyone is ever getting back what she spent on the tickets.
Yeah, until you hit the big one.
What's the big one?
I mean, probably what? I mean, some of them go up to scratch off, some of them go up to what, 25?
They can go higher than that, depending 100? On how much you're spending on the specific ticket.
I can't tell you the last time I went into a gas station.
Because you just pay at the pump.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you guys go in?
Yeah, because I got to get a Celsius Peach Vibe. I
never. I mean, I wouldn't go in for $10.
Station.
It's a long walk.
Yeah, I mean, it depends upon, I mean, typically if I'm only going to go to a gas station if it's a quick trip. Like the last time I did, there's one right off on Holy Hill Road. If you're going to Erin Hills, when I was going up for the Women's Open, stopped there for a coffee one morning. It was delightful.
Okay.
But that's about it. Like, just random gas stations. Like, yeah, I don't trust most.
I bet you when Bucky's comes to town, whenever that ends up happening, you'll pop in. I was
looking for it. Where is that going? Down it even started?
I don't think so.
I was looking everywhere for it.
I think they've got a better chance of getting the one on Oak Creek up and running before they figure out DeForest.
You have to get mentally prepared to go into a Bucky's. You can't just go into a Bucky's because it's too insane. No, you can't just walk
in. You can't just pop in?
No.
Pop in for a quick sandwich?
Is it like when you go to Disney World and you're like, okay, first we're going to hit this land, then we're going to hit this ride, then we're going to do this, we're going to grab a Dole Whip. Like, is that what we're
talking
about?
Yeah, there has to be a plan. Like, sometimes I'll get a call from my hairdresser. Hey, you want to come in? I got a spot 3 hours earlier. No, I'm already locked into mine. I can't pivot. You don't get like that?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't fit in my schedule, right. Like, then yeah. But
all evidence we have about you is that it would.
They ask you to come. Yeah. They ask you to come in at 8 o'clock, or what are we doing here?
You got to get mentally prepared.
For a haircut?
Yeah.
No, famously, you sit there and you zone out.
Not with the hens that are in the place where I go.
Oh, the hens.
Yes. A lot of squawking. A lot of talking.
What are you mentally preparing yourself for? To contribute?
No, just the stories, you know.
Prepping your ears?
Yeah.
You stretch them out. And you're going just kind of giving there. Yourself a little ear massage before you go in.
Could you do that before you come here? Could you stretch your ears from listening before you come here every morning? That'd be nice.
It's a little early in the morning. Isn't it?
Mentally prepare yourself for a haircut.
Yes. I'm trying to think things just off the cut. Hey, Cuff. Come here. Dennis? No. You have to prepare yourself to go to the dentist, yes or no?
No.
You just walk in?
Just brush my teeth. Yeah. You know, I got all those toothbrushes in the Mary Poppins bag.
But, I mean, a little extra vigorous floss.
Yeah. I mean, you brush in the morning, you brush before you go, it's fine.
No, I don't like going off schedule.
I need a 10-minute warning to get to the dentist.
See, that makes sense. The idea of being off schedule. You are a former NFL player, yes. A product of routine. We always talk about how you guys are very structured lives.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't been that guy for...
I don't think you ever lose it.
Decades.
But you don't have structure to your day.
Yes, I do. My wife rips on me for my structure. This goes in the truck at about 3 p.m. with the granola bar. Okay? You can't do this in the morning because you'll forget.
You pre-put that in the truck?
Yes. Like, my coffee is all set. My coffee is all set by 5 o'clock the night before.
Sounds like everybody else is getting into a routine. Yes. What are you doing?
But why does it bother? Why a certain person just bothers? I'm proactive.
I mean, that's weird.
Why?
You have to prep to remind yourself to bring the gallon of jug that you always have.
Well, he's
with
not
you.
Reminding himself. He's just putting in the truck so it's there.
So it's there. It's done.
I also think...
One less thing.
Might be missing each other on this. I feel like we're on the same highway, but we're going one way and he's going the other way. So hold on. When we talk about structure, we're talking about like from this time to this time, you're doing this. From this time to this time, you're doing this. After you get done with the gym...
Yes.
What is the structure that you're referring to the rest of the day that drives your wife crazy?
Like today, it's probably write the syndex.
Well, that's every
day. Get tonight's meal.
Yep.
Probably get my lunch. Cut the grass. Like, my outfit is on my bureau by 5 o'clock last night.
Your
like, you just wake up and decide outfit you're going to wear that?
Yeah. I woke up. I went, what shorts do I have? Okay, what shirt can go with these? And here we are.
My socks are in my shoes in the living room.
Well, that's because, I mean, in fairness, yes, today is Monday, so this is the fresh pair, but you're just taking off your socks with your shoes when you get home.
Would that bother you? If I was your roommate, would that bother you?
Would it bother me? No. Would I note that it's strange behavior? Yes.
I would.
I would note it. It wouldn't bother me. Like, would I then, if you were my roommate and I'm going out with, you know, some of my friends and you're not there, would I go, you would not believe what my new roommate's doing? Would I do that? Yeah, of course I would.
Would I maybe hide the socks?
After you went to bed at 7:30.
Like, when did you decide you're going to wear that hat today?
The moment I put it on at 4:45.
Is it a new hat? Did you go to a Tyler Childers concert recently?
No, I went to one a while ago. I've had this hat for about 6 months and I forgot I had it.
Ooh.
I'm buried it and said, ooh, let's wear that. And that's where we end up. I understand having like routines and habits. I like to keep my wallet and keys in the same spot. And when they're not there, I have no idea where they are. And I end up searching the house. But I'm not like strategically placing my shoes and socks.
Like I do the same thing every. You know why? Because you know what's annoying? You know what's annoying?
Having to look for stuff.
No, leaving the coffee grounds in the filter after you do your coffee. Right? Does that annoy you?
Well, I'm the one who does the coffee, so like.
Well, I do. We individual cup it.
Yeah. So okay. are you talking about the little Keurig cups, or are you talking about actual coffee
grounds? Actual grounds in the.
Wow.
That wouldn't bother you.
Don't make a
bureau and.
Would that bother you?
If someone left the coffee grounds in the coffee machine,
unless it was moldy, and then I'd be annoyed.
Yeah. Because again, like, so we make a pot, right? Like, I make a pot in the morning when I shower. I come downstairs before I take the dog out. I make the coffee.
What if there's no water in the coffee maker?
The sink is steps away.
That would bother
me. I go over the sink. Well, but I'm the one who's doing it. So I just have to fill it up. That's part of my routine is every morning I make the coffee. I fill up the coffee, the pot, pour the water in, put the grounds in, hit the button, take the dog around
the block. Much more efficient if you do it the night before.
How is it more efficient?
Because you just roll out and you hit one button and you're like,
this but we're doing the same amount of work. You're just doing it 12 hours before.
His point is in the morning, maybe you're a little more groggy.
Yes.
You're not all there, but you've done it the night before. So you've saved your tired self or your groggy self the extra steps when you're fresh. And
if I can't fill up my coffee maker and put two scoops of grounds in because I'm too tired, I got bigger problems. This is as mindless of an activity in the morning.
It's wild.
It almost gets to a point where I think you think you're like hacking the day by doing stuff earlier.
He's the guy who thinks he can have 3 days in one day.
The 24 hours.
No.
I got 3 days. I got 300 more days than you.
No. I'm a guy that has a first 15 and runs all 15.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
But you do it the day before.
Yeah, correct. But you're on the first 15 before the game starts.
Yeah. At least I get them.
If it works for you, it's fine.
You're running the first 15 during the walkthrough.
Sounds like it works for you. So we were just wondering what some of these gifts that you have given out are, the groomsmen gifts. And if you like the idea of the lottery tickets, the scratch-off tickets, as sort of a fun, whimsical, I don't know that anyone's going to win anything big, but here, have fun getting silver shavings all over your dining room table. Because that's what ends up happening, guys. We're all over there with the quarter. And then my kids are moving them onto the ground. And then I'm going, I guess I'm vacuuming later. That's what happens when we get the scratch-off tickets. I don't enjoy it as much as, say, the youngsters do.
I mean, again, sometimes, you know, with these groomsmen gifts, right, Chu? You just decide to break them in front of the people who bought them for you.
I'll never forget. Kind of like Victor. He's never going to get that. I got a nice Vokey wedge. For a wedding I was standing up in and proceeded to break it the very third hole of the round I was playing with the
groom-to-be?
Yes.
Mm. So what did you say?
Sorry.
Strong like bull.
Yeah. I was like, whoops, when everyone else started laughing.
Now that feels like an expensive groomsman
gift. A little more pricey than the $25 Victor Hovland.
In 99, that's probably what, $110? For a Vokey wedge, which is still pretty good.
Yeah, but still pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't like somebody to rip up $110 I gave to them
no,
in my face.
Right in front.
Yeah, right,
no.
Right. The right in front of him part is.
There's something, Jen, you mentioned that I keyed on there of you not enjoying the scratch-off process. You put a scratch-off in front of me, and I see the highest amount on there. Until I scratch the last one and I don't win the maximum prize, I'm convinced I'm going to win it.
Oh, that's so nice.
You got to keep hope.
You got to believe.
Yeah.
If you don't believe, it's not going to happen.
I've never entered into a pull tab or a scratch off or a sports bet and gone, nah, I'm not winning this.
Okay.
I believe it for at least 30 seconds.
You just nailed something here that I think is just a wackiness of my brain. I love pull tabs. Dude, I'll throw a hundo into the pull tab machine. Bam, 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 just bop it around, right? Yes. On the things, right? And I will assume, and I will excitedly.
$500
pop,
is in
pop,
here.
Pop, 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 pop those, right?
When you win that 500,
it's the best.
It's electric.
Is it the cleanliness of the pull tabs, the convenience of the pull tabs, that I am now placing it higher on the power rankings than the scratch offs? Which again, the little silver shavings in the grooves of my dining room table. I have a little PTSD, as you can see.
Yes, I think it's obviously the cleanliness. I think you answered your own question over there with the tone in your voice of the excitement of the pull tabs and the frustration of, like, if you did that somewhere other than your house. The scratch offs.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think you would enjoy it because you don't have to worry about it.
So when she hands me my little, I'm gonna save these for later.
Yes.
And then I'm gonna go over to her house and scratch off the tickets.
Maybe just do them like on the deck or the patio. We go outside, enjoy them outside.
Christmas morning, Jen. What are you doing out there? The little
scratch. We haven't had snow on the ground for a while.
We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We will get into some nonsense. Of course, there was some nonsense over the weekend. Maybe you saw the big trade in the NBA and thought, huh, that is interesting. And that tells me something about the Giannis trade ability this offseason. And then, of course, still got Green Bay Packers news. A lot of stuff I want to get to, including the NFC North quarterback with the most to prove. Would you believe we don't agree? Not a single one of us. We'll get to that as the show rolls on. Stick around. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Time to upgrade your windows or doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune. That's where our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin comes through. They're getting me a new door. Can't wait. I'm already scheduled. Going to be happening later this summer. New front door on my house. But maybe it's time for you to upgrade. Pella, the best in the industry. They have a product line for every budget. Plus, right now, get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now and wait to start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply, N63025. So set that free in-home consultation today. PellaWI.com. When you go to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, make sure you tell them Gabe Neitzel sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's
like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN. So get it on,
background, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and for as much grief as we sometimes give the old Twitter sphere, sometimes it does give you gold. And this weekend, it was Jair Alexander's dad taking to Twitter to defend slash explain his son's side of the story. Gabe, what was your immediate reaction when you saw Jair Alexander's father tweeting about his son and the Packers, I guess the dissolving of the relationship?
It made everything make a lot more sense, I think, in terms of why it fell apart and trying to marry this thought of, okay, maybe Jair is willing to stick around, right? That report was out there. Oh, Jair wants to be here. But ultimately, they couldn't figure anything out. We find out it wasn't a negotiation because his dad put out there that Jair was willing to take less than what he was currently making. But he also said that there were basically no guarantees in the new deal that the Packers had offered or put in front of Jair, which, I mean, a player like that is just not going to accept league minimum with a bunch of incentives.
That's why, were the Packers messing with him? I mean, it's kind of like Aaron Jones. You think he's actually going to take $4 million a year?
I think that, yeah, I mean, it was a situation where I think the Packers had made their decision and their contract offer reflected that decision. If what Jair's dad wasn't even a contract offer.
I mean, it really wasn't. Here's minimum. Veteran minimum. Take it or leave it. I mean, what the hell do they think?
I don't understand a player of Jair's resume balking at a team offering incentives. Like, that's like
with no guaranteed money.
So again, I understand that that's a sticking point. I do. But you weren't available to the extent that the team needed you to be available, wanted you to be available. So this was essentially like a prove-it deal. Like, we are willing to give you all of the money. Just be on the field. You know, it's like me incentivizing my kid. Hey, you don't have the track record of doing what we want you to do, but we think you can. And if you do, well, you're going to reap the rewards. So
he also said, though, that Jair couldn't straighten his leg. And that the Packers misdiagnosed the knee injury initially.
Can't straighten his leg now? Or
no, couldn't.
Then?
Could not straighten his leg during the season.
Well, yeah, because
that's a problem.
Yeah, he said he couldn't straighten his leg, and that's why he could not play when the Packers thought he could play, and that they misdiagnosed the knee, which again does have standing, given how many misdiagnoses they had with David Bakhtiari.
I mean, I tore my PCL. PCL's, it doesn't require surgery, is what it is.
His required surgery. He had surgery in January.
He did. Okay.
So hold on. Are we just, again, and I don't want this to come across as disrespectful, but are we just buying everything that Jair's father is saying, hook, line, and sinker? We're just going, you know what? On the truth thing, he's a 10 out of 10. Like, to me, there might be a little stretching here and there.
There's a Packer side and there's a Jair side. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
But, well, do you believe there was guaranteed money? I would have said, if they offered that deal to me, I would have told them to go pound sand.
Yeah, so the tweet was, can't play on a contract without any guarantees. They need to stop the cap. Very willing to restructure. We understand business, and it would have been foolish to have zero guaranteed money.
I agree.
Okay, so is he going to sign somewhere?
Yeah, he's going to sign somewhere that's going to affect Green Bay. And he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, and he'll be playing. My guess is it'll be a one-year deal with some guaranteed money, and he'll be playing for a multi-year contract next year. It's exactly how I said it was going to play out. He's going to go somewhere. He's going to play 15 games. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, but who cares after that? He's going to go to a contender. I'm not saying you sign him, but the Eagles.
I have seen the Eagles thrown out there as a potential.
I saw Minnesota. Yeah,
because he's going to want to go somewhere with a team that has a chance to be competitive. Packers, like, he's not going to go to Jacksonville.
But the Packers must have considered that as a possibility, right? Like, when they were putting this whole thing together, this package, this deal, they must have considered, hey, if he's insulted by this deal and decides to go elsewhere, there's a chance he could hurt us. There's a chance he'll be motivated by this experience. Right, and I'm saying, if they don't care, I don't care.
I mean, he's going to be a good player when he's on the field.
Yeah.
And if it's true that he couldn't straighten his knee, which, again, he required knee surgery, had surgery in early January, like, if he's on the field, that's not good for the Packers.
No.
Like, trying to figure out something where, again, it's one thing to lowball a guy.
I mean, what if
it's another to just go, hey, here's the minimum. You're going to have to go out and get the rest.
But if the truth lies somewhere in the middle, isn't it possible that that's not exactly what it was?
I'm guessing it was on that. So what, $3 million?
Double
the minimum? Like, that's for a player of that caliber. There's not a single player in the league that would take that.
No.
So whatever the actual numbers are, doesn't matter to me. What this says is that the Packers offered him a contract so low they knew he wasn't
going
to accept
it. But how can you trust the Packers? You know, they lied about Aaron Jones. Oh, definitely want him back on this team. We're going to do everything we can.
So let me ask you this,
and then
too.
They lowball the hell out.
Would you prefer that they would just shoot it straight? Would you prefer that they're like, not in our plans?
Yes.
This player is no longer in our plans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it probably would have taken six, my guess.
You're talking about Jones now, right?
Or no, I'm talking about Jair. Probably would have taken six guaranteed and the other 10 in incentives or whatever the number is.
I mean, that's what we think. We can't make any sense of what he would actually want and sign to.
I'm just saying, if I was Jair, I would say, all right, six is fair.
I don't view Jair as maybe the most rational on the reality of the situation.
Yes.
Why? What has he ever done to make you think and have this opinion, Josh?
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. At first, I didn't think that was dripping with enough sarcasm. And I was going to be like this. What? But then you added the sarcasm.
I mean, it's kind of like, a push with the Aaron Jones and then, hey, I'm a captain. Nah, you know. So they, you know, both have their strikes against them. I agree. I just don't know what the big... I can't just tell the truth, you know? No, they offered me no guarantees, so I'm going to go somewhere else, and I'm sure someone's... All right, there you go. Good luck.
It's interesting, though, that Jair, and I know you guys keep talking about, like, there's an ego involved here with, whoa, that number is way too low for what I deserve, for what I have done, right? Because that's the rationalization that goes on in the mind, right? But, like, the idea of playing, again, under Jeff Hafley, who we think is so stinking talented as a defensive coordinator that he's likely going to get head coaching consideration, if not next season, the season after, at some point, right, if this defense continues to perform, I'm a little surprised that Jair wouldn't go, I kind of still want to work with that guy. And, like, I have the opportunity to Chewy, you keep mentioning the guaranteed. I know that is important. Mm-hmm. But I have the opportunity to make the money if I'm healthy and if I'm contributing on the field. And there's a part of me that says, I'm going to go prove it. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to play with this coach who I think I'm inspired by, who I think is talented. I'm going to play with my buddy Xavier McKinney. We're going to try to be one of the top five defenses in the league. And I'm going to earn all my money back because I'm going to be available this year. I am healthy now, and I will be able to play.
But it's a physical game. It's a violent game.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have guarantees. Like, you just do.
This is why Elgton Jenkins is doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You need to have some sort of guarantee in case you do get injured.
Yeah.
It's not like Jair went out there going, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to injure my PCL. It's going to be so sick. Can't wait. Just going to sit on the bench for it. No, he's not doing that. Like, he got injured. Like, when he injured his shoulder, when he tried to step up and tackle Najee Harris all those years ago. It's not like he stepped into that tackle going, oh, this is going to blow up my shoulder. Just things happen over the course of a football game, and that's why you have to have the guaranteed money to be able to fall back on in case you do get injured.
Yeah.
And not everything can be an incentive-laden deal. Now, yeah, you can have incentives in there to earn more, but you have to have some sort of guarantee.
Yeah.
And whatever the guarantee was, obviously was not high enough.
So let me ask you this, Chew, about the guaranteed money. Players, it sounds like, feel like this is a non-negotiable. This is a non-starter. But the CBA doesn't guarantee guaranteed money. Like, at what point are leagues maybe and teams maybe pushing back and saying, you know what? We don't want to create a contract that has guaranteed money in it. We would rather have these incentive-laden contracts.
No, a player would, like, put it this way. Jair probably would have taken $8 million in guaranteed money and then less incentives. It's hard with football because you can't roll the dice because injuries can happen at any time. You always got to protect yourself, you know?
And teams, I mean, would teams love to do that, Jen, and pay as they go? Yeah. And they try to set up the contracts the best they can. But there's always going to be another team out there that's willing to do something potentially irrational, like giving Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
Because teams get desperate. They want to win. So what do I do? Oh, I offer you more guaranteed money than what you know somebody else is offering. And that's how those negotiations work.
Players and organizations have what they think is fair. And they're not always the same. Like, when they came for me, I hurt my neck. Ron renegotiated with me, took a little base salary away, and then made it up in incentives. But I'm a rational guy. I'm like, that's fair, right? Jair's not always the most rational person, but I would have think $6 million.
Did you fight it a little bit?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No, I didn't. Because it was fair. Because it was fair.
I also think at that time you had a history of trying to play through what you could to your best.
Yeah.
As your body would physically permit it.
Yeah.
I think
there was a trust. There was a trust that went both ways.
But now, necks, forget it. You got a neck, you're done. You're done. It's almost like a foot. Like, ACL's nothing now, where it used to be huge when I first started playing. Now it's your neck and your feet. If you got a problem there, a serious problem, you're done.
Not willing to commit to you long term.
Especially a neck. No, they're not messing around.
Does the information that Jair's dad put out there change your opinion of how it all went down? I guess that's what, does this information, again, taking, I'm taking it with a grain of salt. I'm saying, like, look, it, now the two sides have gone to their separate corners and there is no resolution occurring. So yeah, say whatever you want. Like, let's make it as dramatic as possible. Let's make the Packers the worst franchise when it comes to how they handle and how they treat players, right? Because what does it affect the Alexander clan at this point? So again, I'm trying to go, ah, okay, I'm hearing you. It's probably, like you said, Gabe, somewhere in the middle as far as what actually went down. So does this information, however you choose to interpret it, change your opinion of how the situation with Jair ultimately went down?
No. I mean, because it does, again, it doesn't matter what the guarantee ultimately was. I think the Packers offered a contract that they knew he was going to say no to.
Yeah.
Like, the only mystery that remains to me, because, again, there were reports right after he was released. Oh, the Bills tried to trade for him, but Jair didn't want to take the pay cut. And that was before the draft. They had committed to him not being on the roster. It's why they signed Nate Hobbs. The only curious thing about the whole thing is, why did you wait until the beginning of June if you weren't going to use the June 1st provision of splitting up the money between this year and next year?
Yeah.
If you're going to backdate the release, like, why did you wait this long? Because you knew you weren't going to trade him after the draft hit. Why did we do the whole song and dance of, oh, maybe Jair does want to be here? That's the thing that just makes no sense to me, because all information that is out there points towards the Packers made this decision that Jair was not going to be on the team well before any of this.
Maybe because they were okay with even a small, small possibility that he took that deal. Maybe there was a thought that, like, look, we know this is a lowball deal. We know that this is not, you know, something he wants to take.
Or,
but maybe he will take it, and then
if we wait to release him,
or were, like, they, or were they sticking it to him, knowing that he's going to go to a contender and say, "Ah, I don't want him at their mini camp. Let's just let him sit there and rot." What's
could be possible.
So
could be possible.
You guys are both pretty convinced he's going to land with another team. When will that happen? This week, next week?
My guess is he's probably got three.
Now teams right now don't gather again for another few weeks, right?
They like 6 weeks, again. End of July. If he doesn't sign this week, I wouldn't be shocked if he's trying to wait out to see if there's an injury in training camp to up his leverage to get even a little bit more money.
Well, he's an idiot because he's not going to get the money he thinks he's going to get.
Sure.
You know?
But you kind of leave that in the hands of your agent, don't you?
Yeah, but some agents are idiots too. You know?
The agent's job is just to know what the market is. The player is still in charge. The player is still the one, you know, calling the shots.
I mean, he's still CB1 if he's on the field, I think, no matter where he goes. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if he goes to Detroit, he's starting.
Yeah, wherever he goes.
Wherever he goes, he's going to start.
Well, for
I was just thinking
games.
About what Philly has. Josh.
Well, no, he's one of the best, when he's healthy, he's one of the best 10 cornerbacks in this league.
Correct. So, he's
so even if he goes to Philly, he's starting. Like, he's better than Cooper. He's better than Quinyon Mitchell. He's better than those guys. He just is.
Did the information change your opinion about the Jair Alexander Packers divorce? Let us know. 800-990-3776. That's your Carbless talk and text line. You can also weigh in on the YouTube stream, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. For your next night out, revel in the fusion and artistry and flavor of sushi at St. Kate's, offering guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate the Arts Hotel introduces the addition of an exciting new sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, and expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate. Learn more at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas.
They
as
don't
well.
Work. They're called poop. They're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN. Hey, little lady, I know you're feeling crazy. Woo. All your other friends are busy making them babies.
Been out in the real world, don't like how it's tasting. Let me change your mind with my little... Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolling on. Very successful weekend for your brew crew out at AmFam Field. Taking on those Cardinals and getting the best of them. But there was a story that broke, and I'm sure most of you saw it, about Freddie Peralta trying to get a new extension with the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, I think we all can agree that Freddie Peralta has been a huge success story for the Brew Crew. But this again feels like, and again, you guys are going to tell me if I'm wrong. You always do. Sort of feels like with Jacob Mizorowski coming up and with the Brewers being excited about having him as a future slash potential ace of the staff, the Brewers aren't going to be willing to pay top dollar for Freddie Peralta, even if, Gabe, he wants to be a Brewer going forward.
Yeah, I mean, they got him to sign a very, very team-friendly deal. He is making $8 million this year.
Whoa.
Yeah. He is making $8 million. They have a team option next year.
Jair Alexander called.
For $8 million more dollars. So they will pick up that option for next year. And Freddie obviously has pitched a lot better than $8 million worth. So at the end of the day, they're not going to be willing to spend what it takes to sign a pitcher of his caliber to a long-term
deal. So what do you do if you're the player? I mean, can you treat it like football and say, all right, ooh my arm?
Yeah, but you don't want to like hurt. If you go ooh my arm, teams are going to be concerned and they're not going to pay you. Like when you become a free agent. Like this is all
guaranteed.
Request
a trade? I mean, what's his next move?
I mean, ultimately what's going to happen, he's going to pitch out the rest of this year. The Brewers are going to pick up that option and they've got to make a decision if they want to trade him in the offseason. Or if they just let it play out the way they did with Willie Adames last year. Hey, we're gonna ride this out. We're gonna get a draft pick in compensation eventually. You know, I can't imagine they trade him this season because of the $8 million option they have. So you just let this ride out. I think the conversation for him, unless I mean the bottom falls out right before the trade deadline in the next 6 weeks here.
Is he an All-Star?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you do if you were him though? Play out this year and say, hey, I'm not playing next year unless I get paid.
Baseball players don't typically do that.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's all guaranteed, you know, like.
But he should be making what? 20 something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Especially when the guy wants to be here.
Yeah.
Like wants to remain a member of this rotation, wants to remain a member of the community, wants to remain like we've seen it happen time and time again where guys recognize the realities of the money in Milwaukee. And even if they want to stay, they go, I just can't in good conscience take such a team-friendly deal that I'm leaving money on the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially because he hasn't hit the big one yet. I mean, if he continues the way he does, then he's going to get paid. It'd be different if this was, I already made $22 million or whatever, 24.
Yeah.
I'll take 18.
But again, the way that these contracts typically work, they become albatrosses at the end. Or even think about what Willie Adames got paid this offseason. He's hitting 201 right now.
Ooh.
And I thought, okay, that's what Willie's gonna do at the end of the deal, and you're just like, I can't in years 4, 5, and 6, I just can't be paying $20+ million to that. It's such a risk, especially to sign a pitcher to a big time deal. Look at what happened with Corbin Burns. He cashed in with the Diamondbacks, and now he's getting Tommy John surgery.
So it does affect Freddie's market that he is not, quote unquote, the ace going forward. He's still the ace right now, obviously, but I think projecting out, people believe that Mizorowski will be the number one guy, and Freddie could always be a 1B. I'm not saying that he's going to have a dramatic fall. But when you look around the league, there are contracts that you can look to and say, this is probably what Freddie has earned based on what he has done. And those contracts are north of $23 million a year.
Yeah. It's going to take over $100 million to sign him. The Brewers have done that.
So it's not
twice.
Like this ask that he has put out there is like egregious where you're going, what? Where did you even get that number from? Like, this is kind of what the market is dictating.
I have no idea what he's asking. I'm assuming if you wanted to get a deal done in Milwaukee, him and his representatives are smart enough to know you can't be asking for top dollar.
Correct.
If you're trying to go, hey, I want to be here. Like now you're entering, okay, I'll take some sort of pay cut. I won't get top dollar. But even at the same time, let's just knock that down to $20 million. $20 million a year over 5 years. The Brewers have only given away two $100+ million contracts. Ryan Braun and Christian Yelich. That's it. That's the list. They're seemingly willing to do shorter deals. Smaller long-term deal, or shorter deal. Like I think of your guy, Yasmani Grandal, Chu, who you loved.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they signed him to like a 1-year deal that had high money, but they just don't want to be on the hook in case something happens to that player long term.
Is it different with pitchers?
It's riskier with pitchers.
So they ain't going to do it.
I doubt it.
Huh.
I doubt it.
What would the number have to be that Freddie is asking for 18? Where you would say, Brewers, come on now. This is a team-friendly deal. He wants to be here. He has been healthy. He has been good. Let's go out of our comfort zone a little here and make it happen. Chewy threw out 18.
Look, you can be frustrated if you want. The reality of the situation is we know that Mark Attanasio is just not going to spend that money.
No.
He's just not going to do it. And you can be frustrated with that, but the doesn't change the reality that the Brewers are looking at this of, hey, we could give him all that money, or we're going to have to pay Mizorowski. Not even just long term, but as the number for arbitration continues to go higher and higher. All right, we've got Churio locked up, but how do we feel about some of these other guys that are coming? We've got a couple of bats in the minor league system that within the next 3 or 4 years are going to be coming up. We're going to have to pay those guys in the time frame that we would have to be paying Freddie, because we're already paying Christian Yelich on top of that. I don't know if there is a number, like, unless it gets ridiculously low, like 15 or 14. Over 3 or 4 years. Because again, it's not even necessarily... Oh, without a doubt. It's not even necessarily about...
The number.
It's about the years that they want to be on the hook for.
But the
for
players
that.
Always tack those years on in order to, like you guys were saying, with
yeah. Yeah, protect themselves. Yeah, which
when
I
they
get.
Understand that their performance may...
Mm-hmm. But which I completely understand, but the Brewers just...
I hate to say it, because it's baseball... The Brewers have control. They don't have to do anything. They could just make him play out his 2 years and say, yeah, we're probably going to be done with you anyways.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. Move on.
They have to decide. What they have to mostly decide is, in 2026, are we going to be a team that's incredibly competitive? And if they are, then they probably hold on to Freddie for the entire year and let him walk as a free agent the way they did with Will.
Or would you try to trade him if he maintains this level of success? I'm not saying right now. I'm not saying this season, because you're obviously wholly dependent on him. But next year.
Yeah.
Would you say, hey, let's see what assets we can get from a guy like Freddie Peralta?
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility, because they'll pick up the team option of $8 million because it's ridiculously low for somebody of Freddie's talents, and then figure it out from there.
What'd they get for Burns?
They got, I'm trying to think what they ended up getting in return to that one. So Ortiz came from there. Yeah, I'd have to remember.
But it wasn't a great haul.
No, your teams are not giving up for rentals.
For rentals.
They're
Joey
not giving
Ortiz
up.
And DL Hall.
Oh, that was Joey. Mm-hmm. Why did I think Joey came from
this says, and a competitive balance round A draft pick.
Yeah, because you can trade draft picks now. I thought, okay. Yeah, so they got your starting shortstop and another pitcher in return.
Okay. For a rental.
Yeah. Because teams aren't willing to part with top prospect. Like when the Brewers went out and got CC Sabathia, I mean, they parted with a top prospect in order to get that deal done. Teams are less and less willing to
see,
do that now.
The Brewers are like me, you know? They're proactive. Cheap. They're moving forward. They're looking. Like, when I woke up this morning, I know the pattern I'm going to cut the grass, you know? I already know.
What are you going to cut?
That's what the Brewers do.
Isn't it the same pattern every time
No, you can't do that.
Bad for the grass.
Then the grass will want to lay that way. You got to shake it up a little bit.
So what's this week's pattern?
Totally opposite of what I've been doing. So I've been going, now I go.
You know, that whistle sounded the exact same.
Yeah, but the hand motion was different, which really makes a difference on radio.
So everyone at home, one way he went vertically and the other way he went horizontally. Yes. Now you're caught up.
Do you ever do the checkerboard style?
If I got company coming or if it needs to be double cut, then you do.
So if you're throwing a big party, you might be doing it to show off.
Correct. Yes. Correct. Is that okay?
Hey, what percentage of your party goers is that actually impressing?
Full
Let me
man.
Just tell you this, okay?
See,
let me just tell you this. This is my world. So I'm in charge of everything outside and pretty much inside the house. Put new potted plants with marigolds in them at the start of the walkway to the house.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful urns, pink,
mums.
No, all shade. Impatience, beautiful. Someone didn't even notice.
Is earns the right word?
What?
So is earns the right word? I think of human ashes in urns.
A big metal urns? No.
Paul Bearer in The Undertaker.
Didn't even notice. Yeah. What'd you think of the colors I went with this year for the house? You painted the house? I'm like, I don't even know why I do this stuff.
Why do I even bother?
Why do I even bother?
You're one of one, man.
Yeah.
You gotta take a break.
She didn't even notice.
Didn't even notice.
And he took it so personally. It hurt his feelings so much. Don't ever convince yourself this guy doesn't have feelings. We roll on right after this.
Milwaukee just got hotter, announcing the buys of summer at Ewald Automotive Group. Get the lowest prices guaranteed on new vehicles. Ewald will beat your best price by $500, or they'll pay you $500 cash guaranteed. With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, you'll be sure to find that perfect ride for your family. 11 brands, 10 locations. Yeah, again, a lot of options there. One easy experience. Don't miss Ewald's Buys of Summer sales event. It's going on right now. See dealer details. Expires at month's end. And always, they make it easy with Ewald. Go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
color
could, like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Set sail this June for a boundless bounty at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. It's a treasure worth $300,000 in cash and prizes. For your chance to win, you just got to play your favorite slots. There are 40 winners each Thursday, and that $300,000 boundless bounty happens in June. Don't miss it. If you're wondering, Jen, what the heck you talking about? Go to Pottawatomie.com for more information. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play. You know this song, Chew?
Yeah, it's Biggie. I was close.
It's Tupac, right, Joshy?
Same thing.
It is indeed.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah. Famously.
It's Bears-Packers. It's football, basically, is what I'm saying.
Can you imagine him trying to justify what he just said anywhere else other than this conversation?
It's rap.
Yeah. So here's why I had Joshy play a Tupac Shakur song coming in. Today is Tupac's birthday. It is also Phil Mickelson's birthday. Mm. And I was wondering, who's more famous, Tupac Shakur or Phil Mickelson? Because Phil transcended, right? He wasn't just golf. Like, there are some golfers, Gabe, mm-hmm. who only golfers know. But Phil wasn't that guy. Maybe it was the rivalry with Tiger for all of those years where they were both kind of running in the same era. But, like, if you say Phil Mickelson to the average person, they know who he is.
Not as much anymore. I think Tupac is more famous. I don't know if it's particularly close.
The young really? Kids know Tupac?
I don't know.
Like, would Chase know Tupac?
He would know that song that Joshy just played, but I don't think he knows Tupac, no. And look, maybe that is a criticism of me as a parent.
I mean, it is, but we can move on. If I were to put a lineup of four golfers in front of Chase, would he be able to pick out Phil Mickelson?
Probably. It depends. Again, if Tiger's in the list, that would be number one, obviously.
Okay.
Give me the four.
It's going to be four other white dudes. It's not going to be Tiger and then all the, like.
It's Tiger, VJ.
Ernie Els. Yeah.
I'm not doing it with, you know.
Well, can't I think of the other guy? Tony?
Fino.
Tony Fino.
Phil. Like, I think you'll figure out which one Phil is, right?
Give me the four.
Yeah.
Give me four unassuming white golfers.
Just four guys sitting there. If I did Phil, I don't want to do anybody necessarily current. Because he might be able to pick up Scottie Scheffler because, you know, his mugshot was everywhere last year.
What about Jack?
It'd have to be a younger picture of Jack.
He'd know he's old.
Yeah. So I would say, like, Phil, Lee Westwood.
Oh, no one's known Lee Westwood.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just looking for four unassumed. Well, yeah, I'm putting four white dudes to see if he can pick out Phil.
I think that the number of commercials that Phil Mickelson has done over the years, Chase would recognize him above all of those guys.
Phil hasn't done a commercial in like a decade.
But I still think he's more recognizable than any of those other ones. And his brain would go, I don't know who any of these guys are, but I've seen that guy. You know, and I think he would default
to that. But if you can't say that this is Phil...
I think Tupac wins in an absolute landslide.
That's what I think, too. I don't think it's particularly close.
Icon. Like, level of, and his unfortunate early death has also played into that level of fame. I think Maddie, who works in social media, knows who Tupac is, has no idea who Phil Mickelson is.
Also works for a sports network, so maybe we want to address that with our girl Maddie at some point.
But who's bigger, Biggie or Tupac? I'd say Biggie. No way.
Well, bigger from a size standpoint, that's an easy one.
Who's east, who's west?
Let's let you figure that out.
I'm going to say
Biggie's the name of the song we just played.
The name of the song we just played.
I'm going back to Cali.
Think of the lyrics that you heard
California
in your head.
California Dreamin'?
So,
with the mamas and the papas?
I'm Biggie. I'm East Coast. California. I just said that. Is it California Dreamin'?
Did you just hear a D in there anywhere?
No.
What about an R?
And I'm going
is
back
that
to
his,
Kelly
is that
Biggie.
His best song? Is that his most well-known song?
It might be his most popular song. Might be the most well-known song.
He's got four songs that are better than that.
What are they?
You think I'm going to take the rap stylings of you as
gospel?
I mean, goodness.
Going back to Cali, the one I used to Big think Papa. Of Homer. What's the Homer?
The one you used to think of.
Are you
going to
show
Homer?
Me, homie?
Good Lord.
What song is that?
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? How has California Love not been adopted by Jordan Love? Isn't he from Cali?
Yeah, but it's not like football players have walk-up music like baseball players.
Right, but doesn't it feel like when we talk about Jordan Love, maybe we should start playing California Love? I'm just throwing spaghetti here.
I mean,
this
I
feels
like
it could
I
be
like
a
it.
Thing.
I think we're stretching.
And Josh says that is enough of that.
Josh is like, crank the music. Shut her up.
Not just you, all of
Jay, Gabe, and Joey rolls on after this.